And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Ahoy there, mateys. This be RBLR Bucks, and I be your co-host, Musa, ready to set sail through the choppy waters of the offseason. Still July in Tampa, and, you know, we got those afternoon thunderstorms, and, you know, us Buck fans, or hell, all NFL fans, are counting down the days till we hit the field, eager for the plunder. We be now 17 days away, my friends, from the first preseason clash. 17. I know it's just a number, but fits the feeling because today, you know, we are going to be talking about the safety position. So since we're talking safeties, let's get one thing straight. Clear as a sea on a calm day. You know, this here episode, this ain't about the workplace protocols, the hard hats. No, it be about laying the wood, patrolling the skies, and keeping those landlubber quarterbacks up at night. That's right. We be cracking into the last line of defense tonight. But, of course, a shout-out to the fleet. The rest of the RBLR squad holding it down across the bay like true Buccaneers. The Rays, the Rowdies, the Lightning, and the Sun. You know, if you're not tapped into their pods, please do fix that or walk the plank. But, folks, as I should say, speak your mind, mateys. All right, we want your takes too, you scurvy dogs, the hot ones, the cold ones, the, oh, you know what, Musab, I've been thinking about this since training camp in 2022, but I've just been so shy. But you know what, today I finally grew a pair and I'm going to let you know how I feel. But no, on the real though, hit the mentions, hit the comments. This podcast ain't press coverage, it's open ears always. So, you know, we're always seeing some things in the off season, and it can also, I'm sure you have a lot of better insight than some of the things we've been seeing this offseason. Hashtag season of the interns. But as we focus on the safety position, you know, this show is no show without the iconic duo. Two lads I'm proud to go to war with in this defensive backfield. Running it back like the legendary Super Bowl safety duo. You remember Jordan Whitehead and Antoine Winfield Jr., straight up enforcers, both versatile, both fearless. So, first up, we got our Jordan Whitehead. Brings the thump, sees the play before it happens. No wasted movement, no wasted words. You know, if you're throwing something reckless across the middle, he's on the mic, you're getting picked apart, clear as a bell. Mr. Zach Blaine, what's the good word, my friend?
God, I sure hope it was Jordan Whitehead from like 3 years ago and not last year.
In respects, man, to all the OGs, you know. I know last week it was Rondé Barber and
could have been John Lynch or anything crazy like that.
No, but I wanted to be the same team duo too. So
That's fair. No, I'm doing good, man. Just ready for us to get some of that rain. Tennessee's been dry here lately, so we're waiting on it.
Okay, man. Well, hopefully a storm's brewing soon. Not a rough one, though.
But time off work, man.
Oh, all right. Well, yeah, man. Hopefully you get some time off work, especially – hopefully you get some time off of work in 17 days for our preseason game. I don't know how hyped you are, but, I mean, personally, I do give a crap about our rookies and backups just because I'm all about depth. But – we got another valuable, I don't want to say depth piece. He's a starter, in our eyes, in the final puzzle piece of this iconic trio. He is the Antoine Winfield. He is young, sharp, has a nose for the football and the storylines, and he could throw up a peace sign mid-segment. Trust me, he would if he could. Fortunately, he's not that mean enough. But, hey, Mr. Carter Brantley, what's the good word, my friend? How goes it?
Oh, it's going, man. I don't know if I'd call myself young at this point. I mean, 26 isn't old, but I'm definitely getting older. I feel older.
Sweet Carter, appreciate you, brother.
Sorry. no, but I'm definitely excited to talk some foosball with y'all or football, whatever you want to call it. Channeling my inner Kathy Bates, I think the actress's name was, on The Waterboy.
Oh, from The Office. Or no, The Waterboy. You're not playing the foos. I mean, she was in The Office too.
She was in The Office too. Yeah, but great movie. Great movie. Shout out The Waterboy. But yeah, we're gonna be talking some safeties. I don't know if The Waterboy was a safety, but you know, he kind of moved around the field quite a bit. Yeah, linebacker is probably more appropriate, but you know, he was part of that positionless wave that some of these safeties are kind of positionless. We'll get into some of that as well, because the snap alignment of these guys is really fascinating. None of them were exclusively just lined up, you know, in the backfield. A lot of them were moving around all over the place. Some of them weren't even lining up as pass rushers on the D line. It was kind of weird. So we'll get into all of that, but a little bit of Bucs news this week. They've been bringing in some veteran offensive tackles since the Tristan Wirfs injury came in. One of them was Mr. Fant, not Noah, but Georges. Is that his first name?
I think it's just George, isn't it?
It's just George. Okay. No S. Why did I include that S? But yeah, him. And then Mr. Hubbard, I believe, was the other guy, right? Yeah. So two veterans, you know, just bringing some guys in, just see if they can avoid the heck that is coming, you know, good luck, Charlie, and all that stuff, whatever puns you want to come up with. That's a little bit of news for the Bucs because training camp started this week. Also, Deion Sanders is in the building, watching his son Shiloh practice. That's kind of cool. So, you know, there's a little bit of Bucs news. Hopefully some more stuff will come out as the training camp season progresses. And like Musab said, as they get closer to preseason. But we are talking safeties today. We're going to break out our rankings. And for those of you just joining us, thank you for joining us. Feel free to hit that like and subscribe button. We'd really appreciate it. It lets us know that we're doing well. You can also give us a follow at socials at RBLR Sports or at RBLR Bucs. We'd really appreciate it. But for those of you that just joined us or are just joining us for your first episode, you've missed our previous player rankings. We go through, we have a fancy algorithm that takes all three of our rankings and then kind of hodgepodges them together and then spits out a total kind of consensus ranking. We'll go through each one, go through each name. And
you guys can go back and watch them on the YouTube channel.
That's right. Yeah, you can go back and watch them on the YouTube channel. Good shout out, Zach. So you can catch up because, you know, this is kind of evergreen content, if you will. You know, there's not necessarily a date that this expires. So, you know, go back and watch that as well. We've got a lot of positions covered, like Zach said. But we'll get right into it. So, the safety position was another tough one. Last week we did cornerbacks and this week's was safeties. It's just kind of harder, you know, with these secondary players because there's a lot out of their control. Safeties move all over the place. They do so many different things. You could almost consider them sort of the tight end of the defense, kind of, if you want to make a really difficult metaphor. They just do a lot of really different things on the football field. So a lot of them bring a lot of different value. But we'll get right into it. We'll get into the first few names, which all of us had one of. So they are all unique to our separate lists. So we'll start with CJ Gardner-Johnson. He was ranked 10th by someone. Brandon Jones and Jeremy Chinn were also ranked 10th. Then Julian Love came up 9th on someone's list. Justin Reed from Kansas City came up 8th on someone's. And Javon Holland was 7th on someone's list. So Zach, I'll throw it to you first. Out of those names, were there any that stood out, any that you wanted to kind of give some props to? Because the end of the lists are always sort of the, maybe you want to take a flyer on a guy. Maybe you kind of just want to shout out someone that you feel like is undersung. What were your thoughts on these first few names?
Yeah, I mean, I'm the one that had CJ Gardner-Johnson 10th. Okay. I think that he is one of the more underrated safeties in the league based on the fact that he's jumped around a lot. He's kind of been traded a bunch, or I think he signed with the Eagles last year, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And now he's with, I believe, the Texans. I think that he gets kind of overlooked because he's got that that track record of being on multiple teams, almost kind of like Baker was when we first signed him. Everyone's like, oh, he's been on 4 teams in the last 2 years. If you count getting traded to one and then being released and signed, like, it's kind of a weird situation. But he ranked, his coverage grade last year was an 85.7. And that ranked 6th out of 96 qualifying safeties. So I think he also played his highest snap count, 1,170. That kind of was a big part of that Philadelphia defense and, in my opinion, a big reason why they won a Super Bowl. Absolutely. So I think that he deserved a little bit of a little bit of love there.
Sure. Yeah.
And then I was also the one that put Julian Love up there.
Speaking of love.
Exactly. He took a huge step forward. He had an 82.2 overall grade in last year, which was a career high. I worry that it may have just been a fluke. Not necessarily a fluke. He's been solid, but he's not been great up until this season. But he also had an 89.5 run defense grade, which was the second among all safeties. Yeah. So I just think he does a little bit of everything. And another one of those, no one knows about Seattle's defense now, like since the Legion of Boom, no one pays attention to Seattle. Yeah. So I think that with Pete Carroll in the building, people are going to know who Julian Love is a lot more now.
Yeah. I mean, it's really interesting because, you know, Seattle let Pete Carroll walk and then they hired the Ravens defensive coordinator.
Pete Carroll's on the Raiders. Jesus.
You're good. But I knew what you meant though. Cause it's weird. Cause since he left the building, they haven't really gotten a lot of attention. You know, you saw Kyle Hamilton play this, and we'll get to Kyle Hamilton. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah, he'll be there for sure.
He'll be there. But Kyle Hamilton played a similar role to I think that Julian Love did in Baltimore. And McDonald, I believe, is Seattle's head coach's name, and he kind of seemed to insert Julian Love into that role. I'll be curious to see if that he can continue that success, or if Seattle even values him enough to keep him around, or maybe they view that position as, hey, as long as it's not, you know, some random dude out there, like as long as he's a competent NFL, right? Yeah, as long as he's a competent NFL safety, they'll have some success. But I'll be curious to see how that plays out. Julian Love definitely had a really solid year. Is that a product of his scheme? Is it truly his talent level? Maybe a little bit of both. Certainly a middle ground there, and definitely had a good enough season to make the top 10. He's a very, very good mention. But Mr. Treek, how about you, man? What names pop for you on this first group?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I mean, I wanted to say it was, you know, given my top 10, I mean, it was a battle between Jeremy Chinn and Brandon Jones, but yeah, I had Jeremy Chinn at number 10. I feel like he has been widely known for, you know, having that kind of hybrid linebacker safety role.
Absolutely.
Really good with the run support. So I feel like, and also on top of that, he's had an interesting pass. I feel like, you know, things worked well for him on the Commanders. Now he's on the Raiders. So I'm looking forward to that, along with Jamal Adams also, you know, joining the Raiders. So that should be fun. But, I mean, yeah, he's a tackling force, racked up like 117 combined tackles. He had two sacks. So, I mean, he's up there. I mean, he's not elite, but, you know, kind of like, you know, hits like a linebacker, but he's got that speed of a safety. So definitely just like a really important role player. And then, yeah, I mean, I want to give flowers to Brandon Jones as well. Massive hidden gem, you know, clamped up the tight coverage, high tackle volume, pressure threat from safety. I mean, he only allowed 33 catches, three interceptions. So,
absolute dog. Brandon Jones was one of my guys. I was the one that ranked him 10th. Like you said, he was really good this past year. Kind of similar to Julian Love. I do wonder, you know, he's playing with Patrick Surtain, one of the best cornerbacks in football. Broncos had a really good defense overall. Does he, you know, it's always so difficult to separate the production from the situation. And Brandon Jones is definitely one of those guys that I had a tough time.
That was the exact reason he didn't make my top 10. I had him at 10 at first before I put CJ up there, but Brandon Jones was a stud this year.
Yeah, not he was outstanding.
But he was not good at all with the Dolphins.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Not a great safety. So I think if he has another year like he had this year or last year, this year, then he's going to be, I think he's a justified top 10, if not top 7, top 8 next year.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's really interesting with a lot of these top 10 lists. You can say this for every list that we've had so far, trying to factor in past performance, like beyond just last season, as well as trying to project and also just saying, oh, who was he last year? You know, Brandon Jones, exactly. Like you said, not good before last year, but he was a very superlative safety last year. So I thought it was a worthy inclusion to bring him in there. But the guys that y'all have brought up are also pretty darn good as well. I also wanted to give a shout out to Justin Reed, because he was literally 10th across the board in every single PFF grade, whether it's coverage, run defense, or total PFF grade. So I thought that he was the perfect, like, borderline fringe top 10 safety. But, you know, it's one of those things. PFF grades can be very squishy. Like,
yeah,
you know, they're not the tried and true. You don't just blindly follow them, obviously. But I thought that that was kind of an interesting little quirk and was worth mentioning. But, yeah, Justin Reed also part of that Kansas City defense that's really good. So, yeah, also a name that I wanted to shout out. But we'll get into this next group. There was a little bit more of a unanimous vibe to this next group, if you will. So it's Derwin James, Brian Branch, Buda Baker, good Lord, and Antoine Winfield Jr. We have a buck on this list. We didn't have one last week, rightfully so. But Antoine Winfield Jr. sneaks on. Well, I don't want to say sneaks on. He's on all of our lists at varying levels. One of us had him as high as 3. I had him at 7. And someone else had him at 5. So I'll get this kicked off. I love Antoine Winfield Jr. Obviously, if he has a good year this year, the Bucs defense could really rebound in a major way, and they could have an amazing, amazing season. Like, they could really sneak up on some people. But he was awful last year, and he was hurt last year. You know, the best abilities, availability, and all that stuff. So it's hard to kind of separate the fact that he was one of the best safeties in football in 2023, and then he was, like, not even really worth mentioning in 2024. So I'm guessing, you know, his true talent level, probably more of a middle ground. So that's why I put him at 7. I didn't want to knock him completely off the list because 2023, he was excellent. But man, he really was tough last year, both in the health department and just in his pure playing ability. So that was a tough one. But Derwin James, I thought, you know, Derwin James is a big name. Like, I think people think of him and think, well, he's been in the league a while. But he's still doing his thing, you know, like, he's still racking up. Yeah, I think he was top 5 in pressures, I think, 2nd in total pressure. He lined up on the defensive line a lot. He's also 8th in total stops. He was just kind of a do-it-all safety. His coverage has dropped off quite a bit, 11th in coverage grade, according to PFF. So I don't want to describe him as more of a, you know, he's kind of evolved into more of a thumper at the safety position, I think. So, but I thought he was worth mentioning for sure. Any names pop to y'all in that list? I know we all had these guys on our list, but some at varying levels. So Musab, how about you, man? Were there any names that you thought, this is interesting that he's this low? What were your thoughts on this section?
Yeah, I mean, no, I had Derwin James actually at number 9. I feel like, I mean, he's got that versatility. But I think looking for a bounce back season, I mean, yeah, he had the 2nd most pressures among DBs in 2024. So I feel like, again, it's just, you know, with all these guys, some of them are just due for a bounce back, and some of them, it's been a little bit up and down. I mean, yeah, we're looking at Antoine Winfield, who I actually had number 3. I think he's due for a bounce back. I mean, he's, as long as he stays healthy, I mean, he apparently, reports say that he snagged already 2 interceptions, like, in the offseason.
There you go.
So, well, I mean, he has the capability. So it's just like, you know, if he stays healthy, he knows what he needs to do. He's still young. I think he still has it in the bag. And I think, yeah, I mean, I'm a Bucs fan, so I'm going to have to, you know, reach a little bit and, you know, throw him a little bit higher. But trying to think, you know, who else we had mentioned.
I really liked Buda Baker. I was kind of surprised because I had him 3rd, and I think y'all had him 6th and 7th.
Yeah, I had Buda 7th.
I got you.
I had 6th. Yeah.
Yeah, so he was on a tough defense this past year. That was his whole career.
That was kind of my – he is the best defensive player on Arizona.
For sure.
Not taking that away from him, but that defense is so bad.
For sure.
And that's the main reason why I had him down that low. I had Derwin James at 8 because he had a down year in 23, had kind of a bounce back year. It was his highest PFF overall grade since 2019 last season. So he had kind of a bounce back year. And I think transitioning into more of that, I almost want to call it like a nickel. Like, he's playing a little bit like a linebacker, but can still cover if he has to. He's not a great cover guy. He's not going to beat anybody in a race now, but he's still really good at what he does. And then Antoine, I put him at 5 for every reason that you said, Carter. Like, he had a really, really good 23 season. One of the best seasons in 23. I think, in my opinion, he was the best safety in 23.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But then last year, I don't think if we were to count just last year, I wouldn't even put him in my top 10. No, I wouldn't put him in my top 15 if I'm being honest. Like, yeah, he had a really bad year last year.
Yeah.
So I had him at 5. Like, I figured middle of the road in the top 10 because based off those years combined.
Yeah, average it out.
Exactly. And that's yeah, exactly how I did it. But I think, yeah, Musah 3 might be a little bit of a
Hey, we're looking into this year as well, man. You know, some of these might be a little bit bolder and all that too. Like Javon Holland, I had at number 7. I think he's due for a bounce back year, just like had a crappy year at the Dolphins. Javon Holland, a crappy year with the Dolphins. Headed out to New York Giants, which is a depressing franchise. I mean, he's going to have to step up to the plate. And I watched tape. I mean, he has a capability as well.
Javon Holland does have the capability. I love Javon Holland. Like, and it's going to sound dumb, but in Madden, he's one of my favorite safeties. But he probably is due for a big year this year because he was really bad his first year, really good his second year, really bad his third year, really good or pretty good last year.
Yeah.
Oh no! So that means he's on track for a really bad year this year.
Oh.
maybe there's a bit of regression. You know, maybe there's
he breaks that curse.
I hope he breaks the curse. But if you can go look at it, he had his first and second, or his first and third year were really good. Mm-hmm. His second and fourth year were really bad. So
right,
or one of those ways around. His first and third were bad. Second and fourth were good. It's all about finding, I think, the right system for him is the case with Javon Holland. And I don't know that New York is a good place for any player. We'll see.
Yeah. So that I wanted to give one last name a little bit of a shout out as well, because he was a bit divisive. I had him at 9, but y'all both had him at 4, which looking back, I could probably bump him up a few spots, to be quite honest. But Brian Branch from the Lions.
Yeah,
5th in total PFF grade. Really, really good. Sort of similar to Derwin James. He was tied for 4th in total pressures and 2nd in stops. He was really good this past year. I don't know. It's a tough one. I probably should have ranked him maybe a bit higher. But, I thought that was an interesting name for sure.
Well, and then also 1st in run defense.
Yeah, he's an outstanding
run defense. He was everywhere, and that's not a bad Lions defense. So for him to rank that high and be on a good defense, which I mean, I'm sure that having the people around him that he does helps that a little bit, but I think he's going to be a top 3 safety next season, in my opinion. He might be number 1 if he keeps on this trajectory.
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, he's young, he's only 23. Oh, yeah. I think that, like, last year was his second year, right? I mean, he was right. He's a Pro Bowler. He was really, really good at last year. I think I need to reevaluate my thoughts on him and give him a little bit more credit. But something that our fans might need to reevaluate their thoughts on is their wardrobe. And it's because we have some really fire gear at our shop.rblrsports.com. Anything Tampa Bay sports related, we've really got you covered. Whether it's the Bucks, the Lightning, the Rowdies, the Sun, all the teams that Musab mentioned that we have shows for.
Musab's
rocking it under his Bucks
jersey. I wore this last week, so I wanted to rep the jersey, but you know, heck, I had to show a little bit of love to the shop.
For sure. No, absolutely. Got to show the love.
Imagine where I'd be if I didn't use the promo cannons, man.
That's right. That's right. The promo code CANNONS. He used it for 10% off his order. So can you. You can be just like Musab Tariq. I think we could all be a little bit more like Musab Tariq in our lives. So why not start with that? But anyways, we'll get into the second half or the last portion of our episode, which is kind of the most fun because this is our top 4 remaining safeties for the rest of the episode. We've got Xavier McKinney, Jesse Bates, Kirby Joseph, and number 1, Kyle Hamilton. He was almost unanimous number 1. One person had him at number 2, and they had Kirby Joseph at number 1, which I had Kirby Joseph at number 2. So in my opinion, that's a bit more understandable. But I think Kirby Joseph is where we got to start, because one of us had him at number 6. And that's interesting. I would love to hear whoever that was. I don't know where he is. We're all looking for him. We don't know who it was.
listen, brother. Kirby Joseph was so bad his first 2 years.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So bad. Mm-hmm. I could not fathom ranking him as high as 1 or 2 with only 1 good season of production. That was my biggest issue. I believe his rookie year, he allowed a 62% completion percentage. Second year was 55, and then last year was – he was really good last year. I'm not taking anything away from him. He was one of the best safeties last season.
Yeah.
So absolutely. I don't want it to sound like I'm completely hating on the guy, but those first two seasons were not good at all.
Yeah.
I think he's kind of
the reverse Antoine Winfield Jr. You know,
exactly. Yeah. So yeah, his rookie year he allowed an 84.8 passer rating. Second year he had a 70.5. Last year was a 39.1.
Yeah, it was like top five or
phenomenal last year.
Yeah, yeah.
So I couldn't put him that high, seeing the guys that I put above him. Outside of Brian Branch being young, but Brian Branch was solid both his first 2 years. The other guys all have a track record.
Yeah,
that I put above him. And when you only have one good season, I could not put him in good faith for what I expect to happen, because I don't know what could happen. Is he going to revert back to rookie and second year style, or is he going to play really good football again?
Sure.
Kind of to be seen. So that's my issue with him being so high. When I saw first and second, my mind was – I was blown away, to be honest with you.
You were reeling. All right, well, yeah. You've heard the sixth place guy, and Musab, I'm guessing you were the guy who had him first. So you got
– I was, yeah. All
yeah.
Right, all so right. Let's, yeah, let's... Here comes Mr. Number One. I mean
– He also had Antoine Winfield three, so
– Yeah. The issue is that I'm a little bit more of an optimist, and, you know, Zach is more of a realist. I'm not even going to say he's a pessimist. He's a realist. But, yeah, again, this is another bold take. I mean, you know, I just feel like, yeah, he had a rough start to his career, but the season he just had, 9 interceptions, 12 passes defended. I mean, PFF grade was like 91 all across. He is the highest paid safety. Okay, well, I think like 4 year, $86 million.
That's insane.
Just an I mean, it's just, you know, he's still young, and I just feel like it's just hard for me to think that he's not gonna just ball out again. I mean, I feel like, yeah, maybe going picking number one was a little bit, you know, I guess ballsy. I mean, I gotta give my flowers to Kyle Hamilton. I feel like Kirby Joseph just squeaked by. Kyle Hamilton just kind of for the vibes and kind of just my own little kind of boldness. I wanted to be a little bit different because I mean, it's just, yeah, I just wanted to be a little bit different, but
sure.
Yeah,
I get you.
But I mean, realistically, like if you're only looking at last year, like I understand how you could put him first. If you look at safeties that way, like 9 interceptions as a safety is insane.
Oh yeah.
So if you're just looking at last year, it all depends on kind of what you like in a safety. Cause if we're taking away everything else and we're to just look at last year, there's a legitimate argument that he was the best safety in the league. So I understand your reasoning there. I don't think it's as outlandish as you think or as it sounds to me. But, yeah, I guess I just kind of looked at more of the whole picture and not just last year. Because if we were just going off last year, you're spot on. I think he's 1A and 1B with him and Kyle Hamilton.
Yeah, I mean it's an interesting discussion. I don't know, we're just gonna have to see. You know, we're gonna have to see how he plays, and he could go out and, like Musab said, ball out, and next year he might be number one. You know, he might be number one for all of us.
Like last year, he will 100% be in my top three.
Yeah, or he could be like Antoine Winfield Jr. He could get paid and then have an injury riddled season and have a tough one. But like Musab said, he's the more the optimist, Zach's the realist. I'd like to think of myself as in the middle, but then again, I can be pretty pessimistic sometimes too. So who's to say, really? But speaking of being in the middle, Xavier McKinney was a bit of a decisive player as well. I believe Musab had him 8, I had him 4, and Zach had him 2. So again, I'm kind of a bit more in the middle, but Zach, I want to hear the positive side of Xavier McKinney first before we get to, well, if he's the 8th best safety in football, he's still,
it's still top 10 is still impressive. That's important. It's not like we're saying any of these guys are trash.
For sure. Absolutely. We're splitting hairs here. Absolutely.
We got to think he was with Green Bay for a while, signed with, he was with New York, signed with Green Bay, finished 2nd in PFF coverage grade with a 90.2. He tied for the most, he also had 8 interceptions, which was tied for 2nd among, safeties. 56.4 passer rating, which is not great, but it was the 3rd best in the league.
Yeah.
So I guess it kind of is great at safety.
Yeah, I was going to say that. That sounds great to me. I
looked at it like that, like 56 or 56.4 pass rating. I guess I was thinking completion percentage.
Oh, yeah. No, that's
yeah. So 56.4 passer rating is like he just played all around really, really well for his first time in a new system. Mm-hmm. And the biggest issue in Green Bay was interceptions on that defense. They weren't generating any turnovers. And then last year they signed McKinney, and McKinney comes in and gives him exactly what they signed him to do. So I was shocked to see him at 8, but I also understand, again, going back to, like, he played on the Giants, so he doesn't look great on the Giants. No one looks great on the Giants.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's tough because, you know, the interception total is awesome, and it's really fun, and it's super exciting. But, you know, those things can kind of come and go from year to year. They're not super – consistent, but he did a lot of the things that are a little bit more consistent. You know, nothing with secondary players is super consistent, but he did a lot of the things that are a bit more sticky from year to year. Like you said, with the PFF grades, he also was the passer rating allowed. But for me, the most impressive thing for him, because I, you know, you heard about his coverage skills. He was always at least a passable coverage safety with the Giants. But he had the fourth lowest missed tackle rate, which I thought was a really impressive thing for a guy his size and his stature, because, you know, a lot of people were, you know, hyping him up as this coverage safety, but he's also getting his nose in there. You know, he's doing the dirty work. So I was really impressed with Xavier McKinney. But like you said, his time with the Giants wasn't great, but again, separating situation from talent, not always the easiest thing.
Exactly.
So I felt like fourth was a pretty solid place for him, but I can also understand ranking up second. But Musab, you had him eighth, and I can also.
Oh my, yeah, eighth, man. Who in God's mind would put him at eighth? And you know what? Thinking about it now, I want to apologize to Xavier McKinney. I wasn't familiar with
you. You had him on your top 10.
I think it was his career with the Giants did, I guess, you know, perhaps play a factor into this. I mean, yeah, top 10. I mean, this is a competitive room. I have to say, I mean, minus a couple of the guys up top, you know, it's mad competitive. And yeah, he had an absolutely elite season. Yeah. 8 interceptions. The only thing that for me was just, he was rarely beaten in man, but a little bit less, it doesn't create kind of a splash like those turnover plays, like, you know, maybe Buda Baker or Brian Branch or Derwin James. And I mean, yeah, he does, you know, do more than just your traditional coverage role, but that's kind of where I, you know, had him kind of down low, was just because he excels mainly to me as a coverage safety, a little less versatile in other defensive roles, but I mean, he has a capability as well. So
yeah,
it's very interchangeable with all these guys in the lower rankings.
Yeah.
I will agree with you on that. I felt like this, I know we haven't got to our number one guy at this point. I think everyone kind of knows who it is, but I think that safety in general was the hardest one for me to get 10 guys in. Cause I was like, there was 15, maybe more guys that I was like, I could see him being 10. I could see him being 9. I struggled making this list just because of how good some of these players are or could be. Like it was a rough one.
Yeah. And I got to admit, I think that's the case for, I think, a lot of these lists. I think I would describe that. The only one that I didn't really feel that way was, like, I was struggling to find 10 names because I was like, ugh, like, these guys aren't great, is the running back position. Like, that was the one that I was kind of like, like, this isn't great. But every other position, I was like, oh, man, like, I'm leaving this guy off. Like, I can't believe we're doing that. But, yeah, the number one guy, Kyle Hamilton. Just like, he's just massive. He also has ridiculous athletic ability. He plays all over the field. We were talking about, you know, the Ravens system that's kind of transferred over Seattle. But he still plays that role perfectly to a T, and last season was no different. Just absolutely, just really an unstoppable force out there at the safety position, second in total PFF grade, you know, third in total stops, fourth in total pressures. Like, he's the best of everything. You know, he does everything pretty well. Like, I don't know that I would say that he's necessarily the best at any one thing, but he's just the jack of all trades. And I mean that in a complimentary way.
Like, he was the only player at the safety position to at least earn 88 or higher in grade coverage, run defense, pass rushing, for the 2024 season. So, I mean, yeah, he's
absolutely
massive. And I mean, yeah, he can do it all really. Yeah.
Yeah. There's not really much on the diff. Like, I don't know that he would be successful as an edge rusher, but like theoretically, like I wouldn't mind, you know, seeing him out there. That'd be kind of fun. But
the crazy part is, I know it says PFF said that he was the only one at the position. I'd be willing to bet he's the only one in the NFL.
Yeah, that's a great point.
To have an 88 pass rush, 88 coverage, yeah, 88 run defense. I don't know that you can find many other players that have an 88. I'm going to have to look into that now, because I think that that's probably more impressive than PFF is even letting on. Like, I think that's insane.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of, I guess the equivalence would be like the running back position, maybe, like if you have a good blocking grade, a good receiving grade, and a good running grade, maybe.
Exactly.
Like, I think linebackers could technically do this too, yeah, but like no one else did, obviously. But yeah, it's tough because, like, you know, the versatility piece, like not a lot of other positions have the opportunity to get that third category in. Like, a lot of them are kind of two category types, yeah, of players. So yeah, it's so impressive what Kyle Hamilton did last year. And there's no sign of him slowing down or stopping. Like, he's just going to keep chugging away. And to think that, like, I feel like on draft night, he fell to the Ravens. Like, yeah, the Ravens had him, what, at like 12th or something? It wasn't a top 10 pick, I don't think. Or
I'm looking right now.
Yeah, I don't remember. But I do remember, like, people being like, huh, he kind of fell a little bit. I wonder what happened there. And then the Ravens were like, yeah, we just got the best player available. And it's like, oh, yeah, you should always do that. And because then, yeah, you can get.
So he was round one, pick 14.
14. My goodness. So 12 was even being too gracious. Man, that's bonkers. Yeah, that's tough. Yeah, he is not, you know, the best safety in the league getting drafted 14th overall. I know the safety position isn't as important as pass rush and all and some other positions, but still, he's a huge high impact player, a big reason why the Ravens were as successful as they were last year. So yeah, I don't know. Kyle Hamilton, really, really impressive number one. Pretty solid by a pretty, not a wide margin, but a pretty considerable margin for me. But were there any honorable mentions, maybe any guys that narrowly missed the list for y'all? I know that this wasn't like a formal thing that we put in our little agenda or whatever, but I wanted to get some more names out there because there are some really good safeties. A lot of the guys that you had mentioned, y'all had mentioned, made my honorable mentions list. But there are some really talented players like Minkah Fitzpatrick. Like, he's not on this list, and
yeah,
he didn't have a great year last year, but he's had some really outstanding seasons. So I thought that was really interesting that he didn't make
it. Now he's headed out to Miami, and
exactly, know, he's back in Miami. Really, yeah,
who knows? Yeah, how well he thrives.
My list, who has kind of impressed me in recent years, was Jabril Peppers. I think his days in Cleveland, I believe it was Cleveland first, were god awful, but he's been really impressive in New England. So I think that given another year, he might make top 10. I believe he might be dealing with some off the field issues now, so allegedly.
Right. Yeah, it's tough with that stuff. It's not super fun. But yeah, it's weird. There were some names, like there were some names that were unsigned in the offseason for a long time, like Justin Simmons, pretty good, you know, but he was just kind of left out there for a long time. Harrison Smith didn't make any of our lists. I know he's a bit long in the tooth, but you know, Reed Blankenship for the Eagles. I mean, there's some.
Well, I want to touch on something real quick.
Yeah.
Because we didn't really talk about him at all. In conference rival, Jesse Bates.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he made our lists. Yeah,
he was. I just realized that. Yeah.
Yeah, he is a – as much as I hate to admit it, God, Atlanta did good sign it. Well, I don't. Who knows what the hell is going to happen now because they drafted two safeties in the draft. But,
yeah, it was
weird. God, he played so good last season.
Yeah, and that's – thank you for bringing him up because we all had him top five. Like, he was either fifth or third on all of our lists.
Yeah.
And rightfully so, like him and Antoine Winfield Jr., I think were sort of, well, him, Antoine Winfield and Kyle Hamilton were sort of the top three in 2023.
Yeah.
And Jesse Bates fell off like a touch this past season.
A little bit.
But even then, like, he's still one of the best safeties in football. And he was with the Bengals, you know, like another disgruntled Bengals player that left Cincinnati.
Who'd have thought?
Right. Yeah. Just bonkers stuff going on with the Bengals. Joe Burrow, good gracious, somebody save him. yeah, I don't know. It's tough stuff going on in Cincinnati. But, yeah, Jesse Bates, really outstanding season this past year still. Really great in coverage. Definitely he's sort of the opposite of Derwin James. He's still very much a coverage guy. His run defense isn't going to blow anyone out of the water, but he's so good in coverage that it very much makes up for that. Jesse Bates, definitely. Thank you for that shout out. But we're coming towards the end of our episode, unless y'all had any closing thoughts or any other honorable mentions that maybe we missed.
I'm looking forward to maybe seeing what Jalen Pitre.
Oh yeah. From the Texans, right?
I feel like he's got a lot of work to do. I mean, mm-hmm. But just a young guy. I feel like he has the availability, he's still developing some of his, coverage skills or, his ball hawk instincts or whatever. But I got a buddy who's a Texans fan, so I'm going to use that opportunity to get a little bit of, Jalen tape.
Yeah, there you go. And we'll see if any rookies pop in this next upcoming season. I know Malachi Starks from Georgia was a guy that a lot of Bucs fans were maybe hoping that the Bucs would pick, but instead I think he ended up in Baltimore.
Yep, and then Manwari. I'm excited for him.
Who knows?
Yes. Yeah.
Does Shiloh Sanders maybe squeak into the top?
Right. I think he'll be really good. I don't know that he even makes the 53-man at this point.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's tough. I want him to. I think he should. I think he's better than Marquise or whoever the fourth safety is on our team.
Oh, and we got a little cat action. Is that cat named after Jesse Bates or Tyrann Mathieu?
Maxine after Max from Stranger Things.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
We got our order in Florida on vacation.
There you go. Well, anyways, we're concluding our episode on that note, because who doesn't love a cute cat shout out? But thank you all for sticking with us. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week. I won't be back. I am going on, unfortunately, a work trip. So my co-host Musab Tariq and Zach Blaine, who made my job very easy this week, will be holding down the fort. So definitely tune in. Check us out next week. I will be back. Don't worry. Or do worry if you don't want to, never want to hear from me again. But regardless, we appreciate y'all for tuning in. Thanks to my co-hosts. And until next time. And as always,
go Bucks. Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.